Hey guys, welcome back to Spirituality for the Real World. Hope you guys are doing great. So today I'm talking about indigo children who are basically now all indigo adults. So maybe you've heard of this term before, but I hadn't until this past summer, and it's still fascinating to me. So I want to get into that today. So first, I'm going to read something from Gaia.com that explains what the definition of what an indigo child is. So here it is. An indigo child or indigo kid is an upgraded blueprint of humanity, a term that came up when addressing the aura colors of these different kids. Previously, auric fields were expected shades of the rainbow, but the indigo's field was dominated by a royal blue color, thus establishing a change of course in human evolution and their indigo aura. Gifted children on a clear mission to challenge and shift reality, they first began appearing in the 1970s. Beyond psychic awareness, they are highly driven and creative, with a perception that sees through the established norms of society. Old souls, indeed, their mission is clearly laid out to shake up the modern world and pave the way for future generations to create greater peace and harmony for all. Both of these generations of children are well into their teens and adulthood, so don't allow the label to dissuade you from exploring the concept of indigo children. So yeah, does that resonate at all with you guys? Let me know. But obviously it resonates with me. That's why I'm doing this episode. So yeah, next I'm going to read what Gaia provides as 13 traits that indigo kids possess. So I'll read each one and just a little explanation of what they mean. So number one. You feel spiritually awakened. You were born to be a light worker and have felt from a young age that you're tapped into something spiritually greater than most people are. Two, you are destined to be here. You are confident and even arrogant at times and emboldened by something larger than you can name. You know that you were put on this planet for a reason, and that reason is to enact positive change. You know that those who are native to this planet are growing and ascending and need help in their transformation. Three, you have high expectations of yourself and others. This can make for challenging relationships and interactions. You see only the best and expect others to live up to it. Toward yourself, you can be unrelentingly self-critical. Don't let this get the best of you. Instead, use it to your advantage to push yourself and others, and also know that others may not be as motivated. Four, you have a strong intuition. Indigos see the world differently. Coupled with an innate self-assurance, you often think your way is right and are often offended if others cannot see, much less take action from your point of view. If indigos rule the world, you are confident no problems would exist. Five, you question authority. You are not one to negotiate. So certain in your views and ways, you are often rebellious and a skeptic of those in power. This can occasionally get you in trouble, so know how to get into the good and noble types of trouble. Six, you want to overturn the man. Difficult and rigid systems seem foolish to you, and you often become antagonistic to what others experience as normal. These systems may also seem antiquated compared to those you know and believe are much more effective. Have patience and know that these massive systems that need changing are like giant ships that can't always turn on a dime. Seven, you are creative. Musically and artistically gifted, your art invites others to see the world around through your eyes. Nurture this ability. Number eight. You are a change maker. You're so aware of the failings of society, which in turn make you a magnificent leader. You're always finding new and better methods of business, society, and ways of existing within the chaos of a society that is growing and evolving. Number 9, you are a lost soul. You feel out of place with others as you recognize that you are different than most people. You can tend toward being a loner or rebel, unwilling to compromise just to fit in. Number 10, you are headstrong. As the indigo soul mission is encoded in your very being, you know your self-worth. You are unwilling to back down from confronting what feels out of integrity. 11, you are passionate and focused. While fiery temperaments may be hard to take, you are not one to be still or silenced. These two traits should and do balance each other, as too much unchecked passion can lead to negative outcomes. Nurture these traits and use them in conjunction with each other. These are the last two. So number 12, you have psychic abilities. Without any need for development, your psychic capacity, clairvoyance, empath, telepathy, is finely tuned. While you see nothing special in your ability, it gives you an advantage in reading others with ease and seeing through masks. You are frustrated. Last one. Coupled with their big picture vision and restless soul drive for change, you become easily frustrated with society and others who are not shifting quickly enough. Patience is something that should be developed. So yeah, so those are just 13 of the most common traits. And yeah, I'm just curious if you guys resonate with any of that. Because when I discovered this term, I, you know, finally felt like I understood my own existence. You know, it's so out there and it feels so weird and like selfish and stuff, even, you know, kind of to like associate myself with this, because it's so fascinating to me, but like I can't deny it. You know, there's way too much about this that resonates with me, and I think like all indigo kids / adults, you know, at this point would feel, you know, the same way. This like this feeling is like polar, because it seems so appealing and attractive, like to be an indigo, but like at the same time, like how can that be me? Because like, you know, I just feel like we've all been programmed to believe that we're like not that powerful, but like we are, like we all are, you know, regardless of if you're an indigo or not. But this is just, you know, another clear challenge that indigos struggle with, you know, which is finding a sense of belonging. So like now, even just like finally finding one, it feels challenging to really like accept it. You know, I'm so used to feeling like an outsider that it really feels foreign to me to finally associate with a group. But you know, I think it's time that I do that. So yeah, I feel really aligned with being an indigo, and I just want to talk about maybe, you know, some of the traits that resonate with me the most. So first one, everybody, I think, because my circle is pretty small, who knows me now, knows that the color indigo or royal blue is my favorite color. I've been wearing royal blue nail polish exclusively for 8 years. It's literally the only color that I wear. I get so many compliments on it, and people, you know, random people that I meet will like mention it, or people that I know in forever, and they just like, you know, it's just like, it's my thing. You know, it's, I've established that and I really like it. And I just feel like wearing royal blue, it just like soothes me, and I like seeing it on my hands. And it also, you know, when I wear it, you know, if I wear a jacket or a beanie, it brings out my like bright green eyes. It just like really complements my eye color. So that's why I gravitate towards, you know, wearing like blue beanies. But I really like typically buy anything I see in royal blue. You know, I like bought, you know, I bought like mad sweatshirts in royal blue, and, you know, just scarves and things, just because it's just like it looks good on me, just, you know, the way that I look, and I just love the color. So yeah, it just, you know, it just makes so much sense as to why I love it so much. Yeah, this color has always been attractive to me. And even if you've ever been to my apartment, you know, everything is blue, like the bath mat, the towels, my bedding is various shades of blue. My rugs are blue, my glasses, my cutlery. So yeah, I mean, everything in my sanctuary is blue because blue just, you know, makes me feel safe. It always has. Even like dating back to high school, I was like, honestly, like not behaving so well. Definitely was acting out. And my parents were cool about asking me, like, what did I need, you know, to feel more calm and just to feel better, you know, to help me stop like lashing out. And I told them that I wanted to paint my bedroom walls, you know, sky blue. And we did it. And finally, you know, things started to get better for me. I felt like so safe and comforted in my own space, finally. And even when I go to her, you know, when I go to their house these days and I'm in my room, I can still feel that just like embrace of the blue walls on my soul. And I'm so grateful for my parents for making it happen. So beyond loving blue, everything else on the list, you know, really does resonate with me. Some things more than others. And I brought it up to a few of my best friends recently, and everybody was like so shook and reacted like, yes, yes, like this is me, yes to everything. And I was so not surprised, like at all. Like everybody, you know, all the members of my like current soul family like demonstrate the traits of indigos, and it just makes so much more sense, like why we've all gravitated towards, you know, each other in the first place, and why I feel so safe around them as opposed to when like they're not around. You know, just like sometimes if I ever feel anxious, or, you know, we're all going through that right now especially, but always, you know, once in a while. But and then like I like get a text from like one of my indigo friends, and, you know, someone I know that is, I just like, oh, I just like love it. I just like feel so good. You know, cause I haven't seen some of them in a really long time because of COVID. So yeah, it's just like, and when we are together, like having them around just honestly feels like like for real, like a security blanket, because I don't have to explain myself. Like I never understood like really why my friends like just get me, but now I know why. And it's because we all speak the same soul language and like can feel each other's energy like so strongly in a way that just feels comforting. Like we never judge each other. And we respect each other's solitude because we like, we get like why we need it. Like we're just, you know, you know, it's just kind of being an empath too. It's like, we're just like a mix of like all these things. And yeah, it's just easy to like relate to them. You know, we just understand each other just on another level. And when something like does rub us the wrong way, or, you know, bother us, my friends, like, again, like, they just get it, and I don't have to really explain why some things bother me, which just makes for just, like, the next level of healing and just, you know, moving on from, like, certain experiences, because you just, you don't feel alone, and, you know, you don't have to, like, explain yourself, and, like, people understand you, and it's just nice to, like, have that kind of support. So yeah, so next I kind of want to talk about one of the other traits that resonates with me. So yeah, for me, I mean, my like intuition and psychic abilities have been evident for like as long as I can remember. But I didn't really know how to like to other people who like aren't indigos, and before like I even started really tapping into, you know, spirituality and like really having these conversations with people. But, you know, I did feel safe with some people, obviously, in my past. My soul family has been amazing the past, you know, couple years, but I want to say maybe like 7 or 8 years ago, before I really developed the soul family that I have now, everyone I know is pretty much new, which is amazing. But yeah, I would like mention it, or like, you know, having just like some connect, really, you know, feeling really connected, or having a dream and then the dream coming true the next day, or just like knowing that someone was going to reach out to me. And I would like tell the people that I like felt safe with at the time, and they would just like brush it off like coincidence, or like what are you talking about anyway. And I was just like, oh my god, like, all right, so I guess like they don't think it's important, so I don't. And that was totally the wrong approach. But I didn't know as much then as I know now. But back then, yeah, like I didn't understand why I would, you know, think of somebody and then they were calling me a minute later, or why I would think something in my head and then somebody I was talking to at that time, like they would say that same thing. Or I would like want somebody to call me and ask me for plans, and then they were calling me and initiating the plan that I had thought of to myself. And it's not that I like, yeah, like there's that sense of like summoning people, but I think it's just kind of like you just both know what's going on, and then that person reaches out. Yeah, it's just like I got a sense of knowing that these events were going to occur, but I just always considered them to be coincidences. But yeah, like I always knew that like my intuition was really strong. But now knowing that it's an indigo trait, it just makes a lot more sense. So yeah, like even this past weekend, I was out with two of my girlfriends, and I recommended that we like go around the table and tell each other what we love most about each other. It's just like one of my favorite activities. And one of my friends said, she was like, oh my God, stop. I literally just did that today with my coworkers. And it literally felt like I was like unintentionally like reading her mind, because that thought that I had to do that literally just like came out of nowhere. Like I hadn't planned on bringing up that activity. It was totally random thing that I just like decided to mention. And then my friend told us like the whole story about what happened, when she did the activity, you know, with her coworkers. And we just had like this amazing, like valuable conversation about the activity and like what she gained from it, you know, by participating in it with her coworkers, who made her cry by like expressing their admiration for her. And I'm just like so happy that I got to know about like this part of my friend's day and life, because I think she felt, you know, just like really good about explaining what happened to us. And I'm not sure if she would have brought it up if I like hadn't mentioned it first. So that seemed like super divine to me. And I'm just like, I feel so much more connected to her. I'm just like really glad that happened. So she was just like, oh my God, I can't believe you just said that. Like, and that we were like, whoa, like it was cool. We never ended up doing it like, for ourselves, because, you know, the conversation just kept flowing and she told us what happened. But it was still super valuable. And like, I loved that conversation. So yeah, that's just always something I've been tapped into. And recently I've been activated, you know, to further my connection, and I definitely will be working on strengthening it. So stay tuned. Yeah, one of the other traits that I struggle with the most is the one that's about having high expectations of others. Because like I truly do only see the best, and I do expect others to live up to it. And that's just how it is. This concept is challenging for me, because when I see people I'm close to consistently making bad decisions for themselves that yield negative results, where they end up upset, like I take it extra hard, because I can't relate to why this bad decision, you know, why these bad decisions like continue to be pursued. And I'm not saying that I haven't made a bad decision before because I have and I continue to sometimes, but like my reaction like isn't the same. Like if I make a bad decision, and I'm not trying to sound like I know so much better, but it's just like my baseline is just like a lot different. And I don't blame other people for what happened, you know? I just try to forgive myself for the bad choice and learn to do better next time. But like when I see people repeat decisions and lack the motivation to release themselves from a victim mentality, it really frustrates me. Like I can even feel myself getting frustrated right now, and I don't want to because this is supposed to be chill, bug ass. But yeah, like it's true. Like just do better and expect better. And expect the universe to be cooperating with you and supporting you all the time. So if you don't get the results you wanted, it's because something better is available for you. But if you're not open to it and thinking, you know, this way, then you're blocking yourself. So yeah, when I see people blocking themselves from what they deserve, it really bothers me. And I want everybody to know how capable they truly are, and self-sabotage just like has to end. Please, people, you know, learning from your mistakes is the move. So yeah, that frustrates me. Deep breath. Okay, so there's just two more that I want to mention. The next two that I, you know, really do resonate with are feeling destined to be here and destined to be a change maker. So just, you know, being a vegan, plant-based person who is mostly cruelty-free, you know, on its own just provides the evidence of being a change maker. You know, I have no interest in following societal norms, and I never have really, but especially when it comes to my diet, I'm pretty serious about that. So yeah, becoming a vegan has kind of been my way of like rebelling against those societal norms. You know, saving the animals and the planet is just so much more important to me than like being cool and like eating McDonald's like it's advertised to be. You know, it's not cool. So yeah, when I truly gave up dairy and fish, I haven't eaten meat in 15 years, but I've been completely plant-based for about 5 years. So my connection to the universe strengthened because, you know, my channels just became so clear due to the nourishment that my body receives, you know, from exclusively plants. And the vibration of those foods are so high and they're so alkaline that it just like you're just so much more connected to the earth. And you could say that too about, you know, animal products, like, yeah, they're from the earth too, but they're not clouded, you know, like plants aren't like clouded with like trauma. Like they don't have like lives, you know, like they're just plants. So they just don't. So yeah, it's just completely different. Like they're sourced from the earth, and you know, animals have lives, and when you eat them, yeah, I'll explain that a little bit more in a second. But yeah, like every aspect of my life has improved, you know, since becoming a vegan. But yeah, as it relates to being an indigo, it's because like we are such a sensitive soul, and the trauma that lives in animal products that is passed from, you know, the trauma that the animals experience on factory farms, like is then, you know, passed onto the animal products. And then when it's ingested by humans, you know, humans are digesting that trauma as well. And it can create like really messed up feelings just like out of nowhere that just leave you feeling like low vibe, even if you're not like physically in pain. So I'm gonna do like a whole episode on this because it's something I'm really passionate about. But the thing is, yeah, like if you're just like a little you know, baby cow, and you're separated from your mother, and then you're just like murdered, and then, you know, you're turned into a burger. Like, you know, that one burger could potentially contain, you know, like 50 different cows and like 50 different traumatic experiences. And they all go into it, and then like you eat it, and it's just like, it's just so low vibe. Like those foods are just low vibe, and it's sad. So it's bad for you. Just again, as it pertains to indigos, like we're so sensitive. So like, yeah, some other people, it might not be affected by that, but I've just like noticed like my mental health just improve, and you know, it's so much better now that I'm not hitting myself and my body with all this like trauma from animal products. And yeah, just even like things that I wear too. I don't wear any leather really. I have a couple things that I have that, you know, I've bought a long time ago. Some are vintage, but yeah, right now I will not buy anything leather, nothing fur, everything cruelty free. And I think that makes an impact too, you know, because even if you're not eating it, you're still wearing it, and you know, your skin, anything can penetrate into your skin, really. Not anything, but you know what I mean. So yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to get too crazy about the vegan stuff, but I hope you guys really like this episode. That's pretty much all I wanted to get into today. I wonder, you know, if you guys have any questions. So yeah, hit me up at Spirituality for the Real World on social. Like, you know, if you think you're an indigo, or if you want to talk about anything else. So thanks for listening, and take care, guys. Bye.